in complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us, that he may open up aright for us the sacred truth of his word. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 4 and verse 19. First epistle of Peter, chapter 4, verse 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Dear friends, the scriptures speak much concerning the will of God. All times are in his hand. Nothing happens, takes place, personally, collectively, nationally, universally, without his permission. Without there's a purpose of his, a divine will. Oh, what are we that Almighty God, the creator of all things, should be mindful of us? Yet, dear friends, he is. Our times are in his hand. We read, don't we? There's a purpose for all things under the heavens. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. And dear friends, that applies to everyone that has ever been born upon this earth of Adam's race. All times are in God's hand. Every breath is in the hand of God. Our breath, our breathing since the day we were born, even until now, has been permitted of God. We know not, dear friends, how many more breaths we've got to take, do we? Or we look over the history of the world, and also more local history as we look at graveyards and cemeteries. A time to die has come upon millions, multitudes, trillions, we might say. And how many are remembered? Their life, as we would say, has been but a vapour. Some have had great influence upon the world, some for good and some for evil. Multitudes have had no influence at all, but they've been living in their place where they were born and lived, humbly and lowly, carrying on day by day in the circumstances of life that befell them. And dear friends, it's the same with us, isn't it? We live our lives in the circumstances which we are called. We thank the Lord for intelligence and understanding and abilities which we can use for the good of our bodies, and for the good of others, of our loved ones and families. All that we possess is of the will of God, His permissive will. But dear friends, what a mercy if we know in our lives, before it finishes, His mercy to our soul. When Solomon writes in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says regarding the time between life, birth and death, so many things come, don't they? Opposites. Times to be born, yes, time to die, and then time to gather stones together, time to cast stones away, time to speak, a time to be silent, a time to be war, a time of peace, and so on, all those things. We have many changing scenes in our lives. But dear friends, the greatest change all we can ever know is the Lord's blessing upon our soul. His call by His grace. As Peter puts it, doesn't it? I think it's in an earlier chapter. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dear friends, we cannot bring such a time of that to ourselves, can we? We can do many things in the circumstances of our lives, and we can live our lives in a religious way, attending in the outward form to the worship of God. But oh, this change of heart, this vital change which we need, this call by grace which humbles us as guilty sinners before a holy God, the teaching of His Holy Spirit. Dear friends, that's one thing that will remain. That's one thing that will not change. Our pardon sealed, our peace with God. Peter is writing here to strangers, or that word also is translated pilgrims, in various places, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia. They probably were strangers to Peter, but he'd heard of them. He'd heard of the witness of them, how they conducted themselves in this life. And he calls them the elect. Elect. Not because of what they were doing, not because of just their witness, but elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath gotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Dear friends, the time of love had come to them, hadn't it? We're not told exactly when or how. For some it may have been a sudden change from nature's darkness into the Lord's most marvellous light. For some it may have been over a period of time, here a little, there a little. But they were all brought to where Christ was precious, the Saviour of sinners. They all came to know that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for their sakes he became poor, that they by his poverty might be made rich. Oh, dear friends, do some of you not know that? When your heart was changed, your thoughts were changed, weren't they? Oh, you were separated from the love of this world, that it now was much less. Oh, you have to deal with the world, of course. We have to manage things, we have to handle things. We need much wisdom. But the love of Christ, who first loved us, dear friends, he became so precious, above all other things more valuable, because he is our hope of eternal life. Dear friends, there may be some who are longing to know that. He knows the way he'll call you. He'll know the way that you will hear his voice. Well, we can't make ourselves hear his voice, can we? He comes in his time, in his way. Or maybe as he did to Samuel, when he was lying upon his bed, called him by his name. "Speak, Lord," he said, eventually said, "thy servant heareth." Oh, there were some solemn tidings there, yes. But dear friends, where the Lord works like that upon his people, dear friends, he speaks pardon and peace and the blessing of their soul, the joy of their heart. Raised above all earthly things, they look upon all matters in a different way. Oh, this is the greatest thing we can possess, isn't it? Covet earnestly the best gifts. Pray earnestly for them. Dear friends, where earnest prayer is given, is that not the work of the Spirit? The divine comforter who is with us always to reveal Christ within us, the Saviour of sinners, and God to supply all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, dear friends, this is the Christian faith. There's none other like it, are there? Oh, other faiths one has to do this and do that and achieve this and achieve that. For their acceptance to their God, for any afterlife or blessing. Dear friends, the Christian way is a humble way. It's dependence upon what Christ has done. Falling before him. Pouring out our heart before him. Telling him we are such sinners. Oh, and the pathway of this earthly life. Oh, it's a great trouble and tribulation to us. He causes it to come. All things are in his hand, whatever we experience. Whether for correction, and we do need correction, don't we? Whether for his land, or we might say for his church in these gospel days, or for mercy. He causeth it to come. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. And dear friends, that won't be just once in our lives, will it? That time when the Lord appears. Oh, we shall need that all of our days. To walk humbly with our God. Oh, this word of Peter here. To those who were the elect. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Let them that suffer according to the will of God. Dear friends, the Lord knows what we have need of before we ask. We don't ask, do we, for sufferings. We don't ask for tribulations. We don't ask for troubles. But the Lord knows what we have need of to keep us in the way that is everlasting. Our own hearts within us by nature are still active, aren't they? There's many a way that seems right to us, and we are tempted to take them when we have to make various, perhaps major decisions, more even small decisions. And we do not ask of the Lord's mouth. We do not commit them to the Lord in prayer. Then, for dear friends, we're not acting then in the fear of God, are we? Oh, when we have to confess, God is not in all of our thoughts. So many things crowd in day by day, hour by hour, of our duties, responsibilities, cares, concerns, and circumstances that arise. And our own hearts, dear friends, they are desire to tackle them, go about with them. Basis of that is our pride and our own abilities, trusting in ourselves. Dear friends, the Lord knows how to separate us from all that. Well, we have the case, don't we, of this one who's writing this epistle, Peter. He was bold. He could do many things. He said to Jesus, why cannot we follow thee now? When Jesus at that upper room said, whither I go, ye cannot come. Why cannot I come for thee now? I am ready to go to prison and to death for thy sake. Oh, dear friends, when all things are reasonably well and smooth, we can be very bold with our intentions and assurance of our own abilities and confidence and strength, can't we? But the Lord knows how to bring one down. Peter had to come down. He had to come down to be nothing. He had to come down to know that in of himself, in his flesh, he was just a vile, guilty sinner before a holy God. Oh, what the Lord brought him into. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, Peter. Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Oh, that's impossible. I shall never do that. But when Jesus was taken that same evening, when they went to the garden, it was the Peter who put up the fight, wasn't it? He drew his sword to cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Put thy sword away, Peter. They that act with the sword, live by the sword, shall die with the sword. Can I not call now legions of angels from my Father, and he will give them to me? But how shall the scriptures be fulfilled? It is to be so. It is to be as this. I am to suffer. I am to be taken. I am to die. Oh, Peter followed afar off. All the other disciples forsook him and fled. Peter, you might say, in his boldness, followed to the palace of the high priest, and there he sat by the fire warming himself. First one, a maid came, thou wast with him. I know him not. Others came, yes, did we not see him with him within the garden? No. And then a number of them came, thy speech bewrayeth thee. Thou art a Galilean. And with oaths and curses and swearing, I know not the man. And the cock crew, as Jesus had said. thou shalt deny me thrice. Oh, dear friends, Peter came down bitterly to weep, and he was nothing. He was a guilty sinner. He was only worthy of condemnation. No worth of the Lord Jesus Christ to ever own him again. But it was for good, wasn't it? It was for good. Oh, the mercy of the Lord. I will see you again. Oh, he said to them, ye now have sorrow, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And you know, dear friends, I'm sure Peter joyed in the resurrection of Jesus more than all the others. Jesus said to him, lovest thou me more than these? Thou knowest that I love thee. A divine purpose, a divine will for the suffering. You know, dear friends, the deeper the affliction to bring us out the depths of our sins. The deeper the affliction, the deeper we are in our sins. The deeper, dear friends, we shall come into that trouble and sorrow and grief. But we shall come into the greater joy than those who have never experienced it, when the Lord appears again. Thereby we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Oh, how deep that grace is, who has pardoned all of our sins, blotted out all our transgressions, and hath loved us freely. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, should they rebel against God? Should they complain that they are being dealt with more harshly than they ought to be? Do they still hold fast to their own earthly desires and their own will and the pride of their own heart? And no, let them commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing. There's two things here: the keeping of their souls to him. That's to be found again, isn't it, at the footstool of mercy. That's to be found again, pouring out our heart. Oh, it's the confession of more sins, like poor Job had to, didn't he? Oh, dear friends, what a teaching there is in the suffering according to the will of God of Job. He did not know why it had come. For Job, it was not on account of his sins. It was to prove that Satan was a liar. That having obtained mercy and grace of God, and Job knew that his Redeemer lived, no, he would never curse God to his face. He was kept by the power of God, by that gift of God of faith, and the knowledge of his soul's redemption. He was kept from doing that which Satan tempted him to do. And what temptation? The loss of his children, possessions, his health and strength, and his three friends that accused him, the hiding of his father's face, the losing of the Lord's face. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. And yet he held fast, committed his soul unto the Lord. He knows the way I take. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Oh, dear friends, there's the exercise of faith in the times of suffering, of tribulations, when all seems to be against us, to commit the keeping of our souls unto him. Lord, do not let me be overcome. Bid Satan free. Oh, may he flee from me, as poor Paul knew it, didn't he? When Satan was a messenger against him, a messenger to buffet him, no doubt pointing out to him all his sins of the times that had gone by. The answer was, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Therefore, dear friends, when we suffer affliction according to the will of God, for all our times are in his hand, nothing comes without his permissive will, nothing comes without a divine purpose. And the purpose, dear friends, of the Lord to his people is grace, to know more grace, to depend upon him more and more, to grow in that grace and the knowledge of his love. And his love to us, our love to him. Always the deepening of that work, isn't there? The throne of grace, to pour out again our hearts, to obtain mercy. The keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Dear friends, when we commit our souls to him, our desire is to do his will, isn't it? To obey his voice. To walk in accordance with the exhortations. Oh, we have many things, don't we, concerning how we should conduct ourselves in this life. Yes, praying one for another. And in love one to another. As Micah puts it, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, what he doth require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. Or to commit all our way unto him, to trust also in him, to glorify his name, to walk uprightly, oh, before others, fearing nothing that could be spoken or done against us. Oh, poor Peter speaks of this, doesn't he? To these who he's writing, those who have been falsely accused. For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that we should follow his steps. This is in his sufferings. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. There's prayer. Or we read of the prayers of Jesus, some of them. Dear friends, he prayed for his disciples to be kept after he would ascend into heaven, kept from the evil. Committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, he committed all those for whom he died to his Father to be kept. Who bare his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes we were healed. Oh, dear friends, when we suffer from others reviled, is to commit again to that throne of grace, isn't it? Commit our souls unto him that we do not react sinfully, but to pray for the Spirit of Christ to be in us. If we're not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. Oh, Paul writes, doesn't he? Concerning, is it in his epistle to the Ephesians? Concerning that way in which, oh, we ought to live our lives. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And dear friends, all this in the time of suffering, the time of trial. What did Peter write? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. We need these trials, dear friends, to exercise our souls aright, to keep us dependent upon the mercy and the grace of Christ and of God. And in those tribulations and trials still to walk uprightly, trusting in Him at all times. As Paul says, be careful, be full of care for nothing. But in prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God with thanksgiving, yes. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall rule your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. That's our peace, isn't it? Our peace, our pardon-sealed peace with God, and His good hand upon us as we walk humbly and commit all our ways unto Him. Well, dear friends, this doesn't exalt us at all, does it? This doesn't cause us to seek great things for ourselves. No, we're not to seek those things. The Lord may bring them to pass for us, yes. We're to live in accordance with His sovereign hand and His sovereign will. He may give us great wisdom and power and wealth and riches. But, dear friends, there'll be insignificantly of less value than the love of Christ to our soul. Oh, may the Lord ever keep us in all our troubles, all our difficulties, looking unto Him. May He grant us again the witness of His Spirit to rule our heart, govern our words and ways, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt us in due time. Well, we read in Isaiah, don't we? How the Lord hid His face from His people but for a moment. And dear friends, it's our iniquities which separate between us and our God. Our sins hide His face from us. But He doesn't leave you there. No, He will come again, gather with great mercy and His pardoning love. Oh, then, dear friends, commit all your way unto Him, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Satan has got no power to those that are on their knees before a holy God, pouring out their hearts before Him, telling Him all the truth. But this is what is promised, or this is what is exhorted by Peter. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Oh, dear friend, when we shall we be perfect? When this body of sin and death is put away, and our soul, redeemed in that precious blood of Christ, enters into eternal life, enters into the eternal kingdom. There we shall be settled, there we shall be established, there we shall be strengthened. Oh, until then, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. He is faithful that hath promised. He has created you, yes, bodily, coming into this world. He has created you as a sinner saved by grace, that new birth, born of the Spirit, born of God. And nothing, dear friends, can alter that. you're Christ's. All things are yours. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. A faithful Creator. Amen.